B-Pod Studios.
985 Sports Hub, you just heard the man, Danny Ainge, laughing at the hysterical mind of mine. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. Yesterday, obviously, the trade deadline. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Ainge.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Good. Good. How about you?
Good. You guys weren't traded yesterday?
No.
You wish.
Yeah, well, listen.
Man, you guys are lucky, man.
Yeah.
They couldn't make the salaries work.
Problem with a lot of GMs.
Yeah, they would have had to. Whoever we went to would have had to give a lot of salary back to the.
Damn cap.
So, are you feeling rested? Not doing any work yesterday?
Yeah, don't confuse activity with achievement.
Totally. Okay, so this morning coming in and last night, you know, everyone knew you were going to be on, and they're like, you better hold Danny's feet to the fire. What's your opinion of what happened yesterday? Why were no deals made? That's because the opinion is, and I was listening to Felger and Maz, and everyone's like very angry that you didn't make a move. Can you tell us why there was no inactivity?
Well, yes, it's very simple. There were no good deals to be made. You have to find a partner when you're making a deal. You can't just say, I need to go out and get this deal, and I'm going to take whatever it costs to get it. That's not how it works. And we've made many trades over the years. We're not afraid to make trades. We were very busy for the last couple of weeks in communicating with all the teams in the NBA, and there was never really a deal that we thought was a good deal. And you know, some years we bicker back and forth collectively in our staff. And you know, there's some really hard decisions to be made. But this year was even less difficult because we unanimously agreed whether a cost was too much and what we needed to do. And on top of that, you know, we were a good team. You know, we have a fifth-rated bench in the NBA. We have the third best defense and the fifth best offense, and we haven't even been healthy, but more than 10 games all year.
How many conversations did you have over the last couple of days that you say went past the preliminary stage and reached the, I'll give you this for this stage?
I would say, you know, 8 or 10.
And were they just not, were the other sides not impressed with what you offered, or was it a situation where they said this person's off limits?
No. So, you know, in order to get some deals done, you have to get 3 and 4 teams involved. And those are very complex to satisfy 4 teams in multiple team conversations. Not impossible, and that's why we do them, and we've done them in the past, but it's challenging to satisfy everybody in those deals. And because there are many deals that both the team, a player, and the opposite team would like to do that you just can't do mathematically. And it's just not the right fit. And that's why, you know, trades happen and don't happen, is you have the right contracts. Like when we got Ray and Paul, we had contracts that we wanted to move in Serbiak and Theo Ratliff, and we had draft picks and we had good young players, and it was just a good fit. And I think that there was no partner to trade with yesterday. And you know, there's a lot of teams, a lot of top teams didn't make any moves yesterday, and some teams made some moves that I wouldn't have made, but they chose to make, so
ooh,
that's okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, right.
Well, were there any
who's
moves?
Who's the dumb GM?
Yeah, I wish I could tell you that.
All right. Well,
maybe in my book.
I'll text you after this.
Were there any moves that you could have made that were like makeable deals that were ready to go, but like numbers wise, this player would have been good for the team, but you didn't make because possibly the attitude of the player could have disrupted this precious chemistry that you know that this team has right now?
No, not really. I mean, we maybe overrate the players that we have because of the great chemistry we have, but there were no deals that were not made where we did not want to bring this player in simply because of our great chemistry. We didn't set out to acquire any of those types of players.
Okay, there's been debate within the radio station and the different shows on the value of the draft picks that you hold right now. I'm trying to phrase this right. How much did those come into play during negotiations? How valuable do you feel that those are when you're negotiating and trying to make deals?
They're valuable to some and not as valuable to other teams. But they do have some value, and you don't just give them away. But we were willing to part with them. We talked about many deals that involved all three of our picks, one of our picks, two of our picks, even four of our picks. So we're not afraid to trade draft picks. There just wasn't the deal that, I don't want to give up a multiple draft picks for a rental player who is going to be our ninth man. Ultimately was what it comes down to. I like our team. I like our core group of guys, and I really want to see this team get healthy and see what we can do.
Okay, so you are then conceding going into the postseason with a core of three big men to take on Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, you've got Daniel Theis, who once again has been very good this year, Enes Kanter, who's been very good this year, and potentially Robert Williams. We'll see how his health is. Well, first of all, how is his health, number one? And number two, with those three playing, I guess, as being the guys who are going to have to handle that, do you think that is enough to be able to stifle Giannis enough in the playoffs in seven games?
Well, the first thing I would say about that is I don't know who that player is. I can think of a couple of guys off the top of my head, but I won't give you their names that would be good at that. We can trade our entire team and not be able to acquire. But second of all, that is a team effort, and we will have Jaylen Brown guarding Giannis. We will have Marcus Smart guarding Giannis. We will have Shimi Ogele guarding Giannis, along with the centers in the background at the rim. By the way, I forgot to tell you, Robert Williams is progressing. He was out working on the court yesterday. He's starting his transition back onto all the live actions, and we anticipate him being back with us somewhere in the neighborhood of March 1st.
Okay.
Okay.
What about buyout situations?
We'll keep.
Go ahead.
We'll keep our eye open for that and see if there's somebody out there that we think they can help us.
Is there anyone that's played for the team before that is a big fan following here that maybe you're
would you consider bringing that person back to play on your bench? He's not tall.
We're gonna look at the buyout market, and we have to make those decisions around that March 1st deadline. Area players have to be waived by then that are eligible for buyouts, and we'll take a look at all of them.
Okay, this isn't asking anything. You won't be giving away any information. Are there players that you're interested in that could be bought out?
Yeah, we have a list of players that we think have a potential to be a buyout, but we have no information on whether
Certainly.
They will or they won't.
But the one that
and
you...
so we're waiting on that.
Okay, but obviously I can pick up I can go to a website and see guys that might be in buyout situations, and I'm sure you're aware of, people who could possibly be bought out. If those people, is there anyone you're keeping an eye on in particular? Don't say their name, obviously I'm not asking you to do that. But is there any one or two guys that you're especially keeping an eye on?
I would say the answer to that is yes, but again, I think it's a long shot whether they will be bought out, and there will be fierce competition for their services with other teams.
What's the priority? Is it finding a big man, or is it bench scoring?
I'm not going to say that. The answer to that, that's just people can read too much into that. I think that I'm not. We don't feel like we have to have anybody. And so we'll just look, and if it's an obvious upgrade, we'll upgrade our team.
And I'm not asking you this because I want to trap you into making some sort of statement, but this is a question that's a legit question that people have been tweeting this morning, and that is, do you believe this team can win a championship this year?
Yes, I do think that we can. And, you know, I think a lot of things have to go our way, but I think our team is, you know, it's surpassed my expectations, and that's why I don't ever, you know, give prognostications before the season starts or during the season, because it doesn't really matter what I think. It matters what my players think and my coaches believe. And but I think that the fact that right now we're sitting here as the number three defense in the NBA at 50 games through the season is amazing to me. I think that's a fantastic accomplishment. I think our team is even getting better. And we haven't even been healthy. We haven't had some of our best defensive players out there healthy for long stretches of the season so far. So I'm optimistic about this group of guys, absolutely.
You mentioned health, and your team could not be more banged up than it is at the moment. There are a lot of guys that are questionable. There are a lot of guys, Daniel Tice, for example, is out tonight. What do you know about the injuries to Gordon Hayward, to Jaylen Brown, to Kemba Walker? Are we going to see them soon?
Yeah, so all of those guys are, you know, I would say they're down right now, but I wouldn't say they're, you know, they have serious injuries that we're concerned about. It's just more of a rest, resting and, you know, making sure that we're a healthy team come playoff time.
Yeah, like if it was the playoffs, they'd probably be playing.
Yeah, most of them would be right now, for sure. I mean, Daniel's ankle probably is a little bit too sore to play tonight, but my guess is he probably would be playing. I would say he's the most injured of anybody right now, next to Robert.
All right, and this is another thing that is going through the radio station that people have mixed opinions of. I love the pick of Romeo Langford. I liked him in high school. And how'd you feel that he played when he started the other night?
I thought he played great. I was amazed. For a guy as young as he is and, you know, the defense that he played, picked up our defensive schemes, his feel of playing off the ball. I thought I was very impressed with how he played the other night.
As the season goes on, do you think that he could become a factor in that, a guy who can come off the bench that maybe, you know, you didn't expect, you know, early in the season?
No, I actually did expect him. Wow. You know, he hasn't been healthy this year.
Right.
And that's been a drawback. And there was a time in the season, I remember when Jaylen was down, and it was like, you know, Jaylen, it's probably a good thing that Jaylen gets a couple of days off here and lets his ankle heal and things like that. But it would be a perfect opportunity for Romy to get some run and to really get to know our system. And so when he was down too, that was a little bit frustrating. But like I said, we have the fifth net bench rating in the NBA. Our guys are, we have five players in our four guys that are playing at an all-star level, and our fifth guy that is, you know, the best defensive guard in the NBA. And those guys are all going to play 30 minutes a game in the playoffs. And there really isn't minutes available for guards and wings. And that's the strength of our team. And then, you know, we will play by committee. And we started out with three-headed monster. And now we've, over the last month, we've been playing, Houston Rockets are getting a lot of credit for small ball, but we've been playing Grant Williams at center. And it's been working really well for us. And he's played some great minutes there. So I think that with our wing play and our guard play, you know, we have a very, very dynamic scoring team, and there's not a lot of minutes to be had out there unless there are injuries during the regular season.
Do you feel more confident about this team's chances this year than you did at this time last year?
That's a good question. You know, last year was so difficult because the team had a little bit more depth and experience, but it was dysfunctional, and you know, but we went through phases where we were playing spectacularly. So last year was a roller coaster. This year has not been a roller coaster other than just the health.
All right. Now everyone can yell at us for not asking you the right questions. Yeah.
I mean, because that's the thing is that when you,
can
you know,
I, Can I trade radio shows?
Would you like to go on Felger and Mads?
You want to deal with them? You should do Maddie.
No,
he knows
I'm
a lot.
Not.
No, we're going to have you. No, this is going to get. And then everyone's going to attack us saying that we didn't ask the right questions. That's what's going to happen.
I think that there's a lot of people who think that those first round picks are worth their weight in gold. And that every team would go, ay, 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 three picks. I'll give you whatever you want. And you admit that that's not the case, correct?
Right.
No, that's definitely not the case. The greatest value of the first round picks is you get to fill your roster spots. We live in a luxury tax era, and we're anticipating playing there, and you need first round contracts to, we needed Rondo, and we needed Perk, and we needed Leon Poe. I mean, people dismiss the value of picks because sometimes they don't work out. But they do have value, and we're not afraid to trade picks. Like, we've shown that we're not afraid to trade picks. But I honestly believe this, that anybody that is really understanding of the NBA players, the value of each player, they study the numbers, they study the games, they watch on tape like my entire staff does, would agree with all the deals that we've made this year. And that's not always the case. Like I said, oftentimes we have disagreements internally of if we should or shouldn't do a deal. And those are the difficult. We didn't have that this year. There really weren't any of those major difficult decisions that we were not unanimous on.
All right. Well, Danny Ainge, despite the insults that you threw our way about doing a different show, so you didn't
It was just a conversation. It sounds like it was thrown away right away. you dismissed it immediately. I'm not sure I have a trading partner.
Yeah. They saddled us with you. How about that?
Yeah,
Danny.
That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
You stuck with me. You stuck with me for a while.
Huey Lewis had a song that said, hey, I'm happy to be stuck with you, buddy. All right. Thank you so much for the time, Danny.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right. Appreciate it. Now everyone can get mad.
Well, I mean, let them get mad. But I'm hearing the same thing this morning. It's like they should have given, for what's his name, Bertrands, the guy from Washington.
Yes.
Whatever his name is, the guy who's an unbelievable
three-point
shooter.
You're just talking
about
our midday host, all right? There's a little difference.
Well, I mean, spelled the same way, so it's an S instead of a D.
Sure.
But, I mean, everyone's freaking out. They're saying, well, they should have. Danny should have offered him two first-round picks, and they would have gotten. No, they wouldn't have. Those picks, it's not even a good draft that's coming up. And you have to understand, if you're going to make a deal for a guy like Andre Drummond, which, by the way, I was not against a deal that would have sent someone like Gordon Hayward there. The money has to match. Andre Drummond's going to make $28 million.
And he's got an option for next year.
And he's got an option. So you have to trade a valuable player, like somebody like Gordon Hayward. And what's to say that they would even agree to Gordon Hayward? Now, if that was the trade this morning, I would have come in and been like, you know what? That's a good deal. I'll take that. You got one of the best rebounders in the league, but that also doesn't guarantee you that they're going to be better against Giannis. It doesn't.
No, I mean, Detroit wanted to dump him, and the situation where they put him is what they wanted to happen.
And on top of that, this is a team that has been killing good teams for the last couple of weeks. They're a good team. I still don't think they're good enough to beat the Bucks in a seven-game series.
Right, there's no reason you would right now.
But all that being said, give me the magical trade that Danny should have made.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear it. 617-779-0985.
Oh, we got to still talk about that? No, just kidding. Yeah, I think the Drummond thing is a little overrated. I'll tell you this.
That's a trade I wouldn't have minded. That trade.
Fine. He might disagree with you, though, because we've heard people say about Hayward's ability to help the offense.
He's been awesome as a facilitator, because the other night when you were short on point guards,
he was your point guard.
He was awesome.
There's no guarantee if you get Drummond in there and you get rid of Hayward that the offense is going to flow the same way.
It's true.
And then I got my question about Romeo Langford.
Yeah, he's going to be pretty good.
That was great. That was a good flex by you. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That whole line of questioning was just proving to the rest of the listeners that you were right. Or trying to prove that.
You should watch highlights of him in high school.
He scored over 3,000 points in high school. I'm well aware he was good.
All right. We will return. 617. Dude, the kid's, what, 19? Yeah, high school.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It's like 2 years ago.
All I'm saying is it went, to make a good pro, you don't go back to high school stats. That's all.
Are you nuts?
No, I'm not.
So with a year in the NBA, oh, you're crazy. If you have to play a year in the NBA, he would have been a top 10 pick out of high school.
How are you so in on Romeo Langford but so out on Jason Tatum?
Tatum's not as the athlete that Romeo.
All right. Here we go. Making him an all-star wasn't enough. Now he's not the
I conceded that Tatum.
Dude, I
conceded Tatum is good.
I was watching Tatum at the sidelines of that BC Duke game, and it hit me. He's supposed to be a senior at Duke right now.
Yeah, and Langford is supposed to be a sophomore at Indiana.
So you're saying Langford's going to be a better NBA player than Jason Tatum?
All I said is Jonathan Isaac is, and that's enough for you.
Okay. I think Isaac is not a better player than Jason Tatum.
I said he's a very good player. At the five-year mark of their career.
Okay.
He's going to be better.
Okay.
Now, enough. I'm not.
This is year three.
Yes.
Okay.
And he's hurt.
I understand.
Or he would have been an all-star, too. Maybe knock Tatum out of there. All right. Forget it. I don't want to. No more prognostications. I like Langford. You should be happy. You're just Celtics
I do, too.
Fan.
We like. We
you
like
guys are
too.
Celtics fans. You should be happy.
I'm just happy you're wearing the satin jacket, man. I am. I'm happy.
I am the one here that watches college basketball. Not that it matters. You guys obviously know a lot more about the NBA than I do, but I do enjoy college basketball and watch quite a bit of it.
Is he a b-ball boy officially?
No, he
is. Ever since we left him alone to do the Ainge interview over Christmas, he is a b-ball boy.
Maybe I have like a Letterman's jacket and you guys just have sweet sand jackets. Yes. B-ball boys.
No, you're gaining quick.
No,
I like
it. No, I'm not. All right, we'll be right back. 617-779-0985.
Come on, Toucher and Rich. 98.5 Sports Hub.
Yes, it's very simple. There were no good deals to be made. You have to find a partner when you're making a deal. You can't just say, I need to go out and get this deal, and I'm going to take whatever it costs to get it. That's not how it works.
Break up the $5 billion.
98.5 The Sports Hub. I just got a couple Czarface shirts in the mail along with a random doggy style tape.
Oh, really? He sent you a doggy style tape? You know what's weird? I wear my Czarface socks all the time.
Yeah, I gave them to Milo and he wears them constantly.
Yeah, they're good socks. I don't know how they got a sock endorsement, but I have Czarface socks and they are worn once every 2 weeks probably. They're in regular sock rotation.
All right. 617-779-0985. We just talked to Danny Ainge.
And I want to take some of these calls because the one thing that I found interesting about all of this is that you asked him, are there specific players that you're keeping an eye on for this buyout market? And he said, yes. Now, the two names that seem to be the most interesting right now are obviously Isaiah Thomas.
Yes.
Isaiah Thomas, you know, if you take a look at his numbers, they've been pretty damn good. And as you said, you would end up getting him for, you know, next to nothing. He would come here. He loves this team.
Right.
So he's right now making a career high 41% of his three-pointers. On top of that, he's shooting 41% from the field, which is his highest field goal percentage since he was in Boston.
And that's immediately scoring off the bench.
Scoring off the bench. It's a guy that you want to talk about this precious chemistry. And I love that Danny admitted sometimes we overrate some of the players because of this chemistry thing. And I do believe that if he does not want to rock the boat at all, I can't think of a better player to bring in from the outside than Isaiah Thomas. The other person, which even more important, way more important than Isaiah Thomas, that I guarantee he's keeping an eye on, is Tristan Thompson. So Tristan Thompson is a guy, you know, Andre Drummond just got traded to the Cavaliers. Tristan Thompson's the odd man out. Now, there was talk yesterday about whether or not the Cavs actually want to buy him out and put him on the market. And there was a David Aldridge kind of went back and forth with that yesterday, reporting that not only did the Cavs want to keep him and they were going to let him play out through the end of the year, but then there was another tweet that came out that said, but that's not something written in stone. And that stuff changes all the time. If they could get Tristan Thompson in here, oh my God. Like he's everything you want down there. He's that attitude. He's a guy that has given, as I said, the Celtics fits for years. Now, I don't think that he is going to be a Giannis stopper, but he's definitely a mean dude that you've got in the paint.
He's physical enough. He's in the last year of his contract, and Drummond's probably going to pick up that massive player option he's got next year. I mean, it seems redundant to me. Drummond is a better version of Thompson, so why wouldn't they buy him out? There's no need for him here.
Right.
I think
no need for him in Cleveland, right. Sorry.
It's because I guess there is a hope that Tristan will give up some of the guaranteed money that they'd have to give him to pay him off, which is like, I think, like $7.3 million, in order to give him the ability to choose what team he wants to go to. And if I'm Tristan Thompson, like, F you, you pay me what you owe me, and then I'll make that decision. Or then I'll just, you know, whoever gives me the most money, I'll go play for them. I don't care at this point.
All right. Let's go to the phone. Todd, go ahead.
Hello?
Hey, yep. Yes. Hello.
Hey, guys. I was thinking about was Clint Capella. It seemed to me that not much was given up for him. And I know they said it would cost a lot to get an impact player, but I mean, the guy's averaging, you know, close to 14 points and 14 rebounds a game as a good defender. And they're going to need a guy like that against Giannis in the playoffs. And clearly that's something they're missing. Just curious, you guys, what you think about that and whether that should have been a trade that should have been done.
See, I love Clint Capella, and I think that's a
money thing, right?
Well, it's a money thing, but I almost didn't mind some of the stuff that had been proposed that was thrown out there. However, because it was a four-team trade, and as I was saying this morning, it's like doing algebra to figure out how much
that.
It actually – yeah, I mean, it's crazy how much it actually cost the Hawks to get him. And I asked John this morning, I'm like, can you figure all that out, like which players it actually cost them and what the Celtics equivalent would be to not only give up the picks or whatever, but also to make the money work? And who did you
Atlanta
come up with?
Ultimately, after hacking my way through the weeds of a four-team, 12-player trade, it seems like Atlanta gave up an overweight Evan Turner, Brooklyn's first-round draft pick this year, and a second-round draft pick.
Okay, but Evan Turner was $17 million.
Evan Turner matches up exactly with what Capella is making this year.
So you'd have to give up Marcus Smart to get Clint Capella.
Well, Smart and something else.
And
Smart's
something
only
else.
Making $12 million this year. Yeah, you'd have to give up Smart and
so
something
else. So it is
else.
A money issue. So if they went... It's, so
Danny
it's not
said as much.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not... So you have to understand that it's not what they gave up. It's to make the salaries match.
It's the, right. It's the players that you would have to sacrifice. Right. And are you willing to give up Marcus Smart plus another player or other players in order to get Clint Capella here?
And in a case like Drummond, just to go back to it, because if you look at what Cleveland gave up for Drummond, it was basically nothing. Cleveland can absorb that $28 million. The Celtics can't.
Right.
So the Celtics, the trade would have been wildly different if the Celtics were involved because they would have had to match the money.
Right. And then if you precious draft picks, that's another deal that there's no draft picks involved with because of money. Or maybe you throw in a draft. Who cares if you throw in a draft pick?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just ancillary crap. All right. Brian, hello.
Hey, guys. Not really quite sure why you guys didn't ask him what his opinion was, whether he thought that Don Dawkins and George Lynch would coexist on the whole Dawkins-Lynch mob tour.
Now they have...
Because apparently they are getting back together and doing a tour, which was great because the last time I saw Dawkins in concert opening up for Poison, Don Dawkins sat on a stool the entire show.
Well, Wild McBrown got a DUI on
Wild McBrown? Even I don't know who that is.
That's the drummer for Dawkins.
Wow.
And he got a DUI on a golf cart at a festival.
Of course he did.
Drummer for Dawkins.
And you know who sucks? Dawkins. Dawkins was never...
You know, like breaking the chains, right?
I do know Jeff Pilson.
You should hear Wild McBrown talk about, like, defend his DUI. He's like, I got lost, man. And I couldn't find my way back to the ground.
He got a DUI at a golf cart at a festival?
Yes.
You can't give him a DUI for that.
He's so dumb and drunk that he left the festival grounds.
Oh, and he was on the highway?
And he like couldn't.
That's an Elvis Presley
like,
situation.
I don't know if he was on the highway, but he was out. He was like in public, like he was out on the grounds, and he couldn't find his way back in.
Oh, that's great, Wild McBrown.
I had a Jeff Pilson pick someone gave me at a Little League game. Let's go to Paul, and then we will break. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I didn't catch the first maybe minute or two with Danny, so I didn't know if you had asked him precisely as to some of the names, you know, Capella, whoever else it may have been, that they were focusing on, not giving up any of the Celtics names, but just the fact that who they were going or trying to pursue after.
He can't say. That's tampering.
He can't say, but the reports are that they were really in on this. How do you – Bertrands or
– Davis
Bertrands. It's Davis Bertrands is how it's
– All right.
It's
the guy from the Pistons?
No. The guy from the Wizards.
No, but who's the guy from the Pistons?
Andre
the backup. No. Christian Wood. I know who you're talking about. Christian Wood is a power forward backup center.
My big thing about, you know, going forward, and you asked the question, of course, everybody wondering – is he confident they can win this year? I didn't expect him to answer no. But my thing is, when you're talking about Giannis, and I equate this back to Jordan and all the greats of the over the years, that you let them do their thing, but at the same time you contain everybody else. I mean, I don't see how you stop Giannis with our big men, but you let him do his 30 and 20, 30 and 15. But if you hold Middleton and whoever else they have, then I think that they have every shot in the world. But, I mean, I don't expect it, but I do think that they have the chance. And the big thing with the Celtics, they have not been healthy. And you know this.
They
start in five. I don't know if they've had more than a handful of games at all start in five, including Tyson, that mix, have played together.
And, Paul, I love your optimism on the whole let Giannis get his and just control everyone else. I don't think you can do that in a seven-game series.
Yeah. No, Milwaukee's 44-7 for a reason.
Yeah, you can't do that in a seven-game series.
And they also have pieces around them.
George Hill is the best three-point shooter in the league.
Dante DiVincenzo's
been good. Yeah. And Eric Bledsoe is playing better this year than he did last year. Those are five guys right there.
But
don't forget, you have Kyle Korver off the bench. He's a great three-point shooter.
Yeah, unfortunately, he can't run.
No, he can't, but if he's open, he'll make the shot.
Kyle Korver is really fun to watch.
Yeah, he is.
Because he cannot play defense.
Well, except for, what was the year that they, when he was playing with LeBron? No. Where he had that unbelievable defensive stop that turned the game around. Remember, we were playing that clip over and over, and I think it was Mike Breen who was like, Kyle Korver is an amazing defensive player.
Yeah, that's right.
They're like, no, just that one play, pretty much.
No, Kyle Korver cannot play defense to a level that's actually fun to watch. All right, what do we have coming up, Richard?
All right, we got so much in the stack, including great Ozzy Osbourne story, the highest-earning podcast host. How about that? And we will go down the XFL rules. What is different about the XFL that from the NFL? And to be quite honest, the rules sound cool. I don't know who's going to watch it, but we'll go over it.
All right, so we will have that for you in just a moment.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 The Sports Hub. The stack is brought to you by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. That's windownation.com.
How great is this? The Mookie Betts trade still not official. John Heyman last night said the Red Sox are trying to reconfigure part of the Betts three-team deal with the Twins. While there's some hope that the mega deal gets done in some form, some involved are now suggesting that it's not a certainty. Oh, how awesome would it be? It's not going to happen. But how awesome would it be if just all bets were off and all of a sudden, no pun intended.
And David Price had to face the media on Tuesday at Fort Myers. That'd be great.
That would be pretty fantastic.
Yeah, that would be the star of the show is David Price.
Yeah, right. You know, it's almost like it would be kind of funny to be able to see an organization that realizes that the backlash was a million times worse than they probably imagined. And then they're like, okay, well, I guess we'll let him stay. But it's never going to happen.
Put
a percentage on it.
10.
It's higher if we get through the weekend.
There you go, lower. Yes. Well, maybe.
If we get through the weekend, I'd say it's 50-50.
It might be a matter of cash. That's one thing that they can do is that they can cut the cash that they are sending back.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, you know, maybe that's to the Dodgers, but...
Well, Jackie Bradley Jr. had this to say yesterday about
that he should have been traded.
It should have been me.
That he should
have
been traded.
How strange is it going to be for you to go out there and not have him next to you?
It's going to be different.
But like everything else, you got to move forward, continue to work, and help your team win.
Did you kind of think, you know, there was a chance that this was going to happen given the way things were going?
It's always a chance. There's, you just never know when it's going to happen, and you got to be ready regardless.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that they might not be ready for is this investigation to be over with the Red Sox alleged high-tech sign-stealing scandal that's ahead of them. Pitchers and catchers are reporting next week, and Major League Baseball has said they're hoping that this thing's going to be wrapped up by then. The other thing that's out there is that he's saying, you know what, the punishment for players, quote, we have the right to discipline players right now. I'm absolutely convinced of that fact. We made a decision in Houston, in the Houston investigation, that in order for us to get the facts that we needed, somebody had to get immunity. So what he is saying is that technically they have not guaranteed the Red Sox that no players would get penalized. That was a one-time-only Houston Astros thing, but I guarantee you no players will get penalized. It's probably going to be the exact same situation. And from the last thing we heard, and I don't know if it was John Heyman or somebody else, that there was one specific question that they were asking all of the people within the Red Sox organization, including the players. Like, there's a specific instance, there's a specific thing or way of cheating that they're asking about. And hopefully we'll know something before pitchers and catchers, because how weird would that be for them to go on in there and still, I mean, they even have a manager at that point?
No. God, no.
I don't know how they don't have a manager.
You know what I think? If let's say the investigation does wrap up on before Tuesday, which is what Rob Manfred is hoping for. Are the Red Sox waiting to get the official word that none of their personnel, like, for instance, Carlos Feblis and Ron Renicki apparently are the two front runners if you're going to hire someone from Alex Cora's staff to replace him. And my old point was you can't hire anyone from Alex Cora's staff because you're not sure if they're going to be penalized or not, if they were involved or not. I think the Red Sox know that these guys were not involved, or at least one of the guys was not involved, and they're waiting for it to become official before they hire him, whoever it is, as the new manager. I think the players know who the new manager is. The organization has come up and made their final decision. They're just waiting for Major League Baseball to give them the go-ahead.
Okay.
Well, I'm hoping that's the case.
Reasonable.
They could be
as reported by John Wallach.
They could be wildly irresponsible and not know anything
No, what you're saying sounds right. Is that, yeah, they're waiting for him to get cleared.
Well, yesterday the Today Show had Hank Aaron on, and they asked him, do you think the punishment fit the crime for the players and everybody involved in the Astros cheating scandal? He says, no, I don't. I think whoever did that should be out of the baseball for the rest of their life. He wants the death penalty for all of those people. So
everybody dead.
Everybody dead. You dead. So there you go, Hank Aaron. Way to chime in. So the XFL debuts this weekend. It is going to be just a ratings bonanza. I guarantee you this weekend it's probably not going to be too bad.
What time of day is it on?
Saturday at 2 well, Eastern time.
There's two games. There's one on
ABC. I know, but they're leading off Saturday afternoon at 2. You're telling me a lot of people are going to stop what they're doing at 2 in the afternoon on a Saturday and watch?
I don't watch Thursday night football unless I have a dog in the hunt. So am I? No, I'm not going.
Saturday at 2.
I also don't see there being enough like money on the line either, with people not even being familiar with how the game is played, who the players are on
the team.
Well,
that's why you're here, Rich. What are the rules?
This is the one thing that they did that's interesting. Now, if they had like players that we knew who they were actually playing the game, might be worth watching. But first of all, point after touchdown plays. In the XFL, there are no kicked extra points after touchdowns. Instead, teams will have an option to run a play to score either 1, 2, or 3 extra points, creating the possibility for a 9-point touchdown. A 1-point try will be from the 2-yard line. A 2-point try, the 5-yard line, and a 3-point try will start at the 10-yard line. On top of that, you will have double forward passes. Unlike in the NFL, the XFL will allow 2 forward passes on a play, provided that the first forward pass is caught behind the line of scrimmage. Okay? On top of that, what is a catch? That is going to be very, very easily defined. They secure a control of a ball live in flight before the ball touches the ground. So if you have it in the air like this and you pull it down and then it hits the ground, that is a catch.
Okay.
If it touches the ground inbounds with any part of the body, there you go, that counts as well. Also, if you maintain control of the ball long enough to enable them to perform an act common to the game, like long enough to pitch or hand the ball,
it's the old football move rule. Yeah.
Sure, that's pretty much it. So you've got that as well. On top of that, there are no coaches' challenges in the XFL. All reviews will be initiated by a replay official. And there's a list of reviewable plays, which are, you know, it seems fairly normal. On top of that, kickoffs. And wasn't that the big thing? Like, how did they kick off in the original XFL?
They used to run at each other. It was like rugby.
Yeah, they put the ball down at the 50. Two guys started 10 yards away on each side, and then they ran hard at each other. Whoever got the ball first got the ball for his team, and then some guy suffered a very serious shoulder injury, and they stopped it.
So on a kickoff, the kicker will kick the ball from their own 30-yard line, but every blocker will be lined up on the opposing team's 35-yard line. The return team blockers will be lined up at their own 30, just 5 yards away. Only the kicker and receiver can move the ball can move before the ball is caught. So they have to wait until the ball is caught for both of those lines, the blockers, on the 30 and the 35 to smash into it.
That'll limit injuries, actually.
No, it would.
That would, because you don't have the running start.
But if I'm the returner, do I have to be on the 30?
No. I think the returner, it's just the blockers.
Okay, yeah, okay. So, because that wouldn't make any sense.
That's actually kind of smart. That limits injuries on kickoffs.
Well, yes, of course it does. But I was like, if I have to stand 5 yards away from someone and catch the ball.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I'm never doing that.
Right. So all the blockers are permitted to move when the ball is caught, or 3 seconds after it hits the ground if the ball isn't caught. So that would mean that if the guy muffs the punt, they have to stand there and give him 3 seconds to pick it back up before they're allowed to go after the guy.
Mm.
Kicks that fly out of bounds or kicks that fall short of the opposing 20-yard line will result in the receiving team taking the ball at their own 45. So you better not kick that ball out of bounds. Touchbacks will result in the receiving team starting from their own 35-yard line. And teams will be required to inform an official if they plan to use an onside kick, meaning they cannot surprise the opposing team with an onside kick.
Well, that's because all the blockers and all the, everyone's lined up so far down the field.
Punting rules have been changed to entice coaches to go for it on fourth down. All punts that result in touchbacks will be placed on the receiving team's 35-yard line. Okay. Punts that go out of bounds will also be placed on the receiving team's 35-yard line or wherever the ball went out if that occurred before reaching the 35. And the punting team may not cross the line of scrimmage before the ball is punted, so they have to wait, which should reduce the amount of fair catches significantly. Then the overtime format. The XFL devised a completely new format for overtime, which is really kind of like the shootouts in soccer. So in overtime, each team's offense will have 5 attempts to complete a 2-point conversion from the 5-yard line, with each successful conversion being worth 2 points. The team with the most points at the end of the shootout is the winner. If one team clinches a win early, the unnecessary remaining rounds of the shootout are not going to be played. There'll be no coin toss to determine the order of overtime. The visiting team will always make the first 2-point attempt. And defenses cannot score in overtime possessions in the event of a turnover. So you just like, it's basically 2-point conversions, whoever can make the most of them in that period of time. Or in that out of 5 attempts, if that's right.
I'm sorry you lost me about. I got to admit, I tuned out about halfway through that.
Yeah, I can't. It's too.
See, it's basically you get 5 attempts to make a 2-point conversion, and whoever does the most wins.
No, I get it. What I'm saying is all these rules. I tuned out about halfway through it. I'm not watching this. It's not going to happen.
It's true. It's like some of these seem like pretty good ideas that maybe the NFL might look at and go, okay.
But I just finished an entire season. I'm not ready, and I don't think I'm going to watch it.
Is there anything that they are doing? Anything other than it just being football that will get you to tune in to watch the XFL?
No.
Nothing.
No.
I mean, the extra point thing is a good gimmick where you can get 10 points on one score.
But who cares if you don't care?
Yeah. And
if you don't care about it,
Fred,
nothing. Who cares?
Who cares if you don't care is exactly right. There's no players I care about. There's no city I care about. There's nothing to care about with this.
All right. And it's not like the guy who's running it is the best guy in the world. All right. Everyone have a great weekend. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.